We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The topic at hand, Mitchell Trubisky, who I think has the ability and the wherewithal to be a highly successful quarterback in the league. But as you know, you don't judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree. And in this situation, for far too long, Mitchell's skill set has been thrown to the wayside, and there's been an attempt to make him do things that maybe he feels uncomfortable doing. And I can tell you this, when the play breaks down and Mitchell doesn't have to think and he can just react, there's not a guy who I'd rather have the ball in his hand.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That is Kyle Long. He was on with Zach Zaidman and Mark Grody, the swap crew. And it was great to hear those guys together and great to hear Kyle Long. And, David, did I miss something? Did he just say that that Mitch plays quarterback like a fish climbing a tree?
Is that what kind of fish would Mitch be if Mitch were a fish? That I have never heard that before, Mully. Have you been trying to all these sports sort of reaches that people make and comparisons? I've never heard you can't ask a fish to climb a tree.
I got to tell you,
you don't judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree.
Yeah. You don't do it. You just don't do it.
I guess
you
not.
Could kill the fish, frankly.
Look, as far as Kyle Long defending Mitch Trubisky, I applaud his loyalty, but I think that when you say there's not any other quarterback you would want with the ball with trying to make things happen, Russell Wilson, number one, would like a word. I could name probably 10 others off the top of my head. I understand what he means in that Mitch Trubisky is better when maybe improvising or not being told to do something, not painting by numbers, perhaps. But I don't know that I agree with that assessment of his ability to make things happen when things break down. And wow, that was high praise.
Yeah, that was that was high excuse. I mean, that was, you know, more like mix that metaphor than it was praise. Here's the problem. The problem is that there's a golf tournament going on yesterday among others. You got two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, right? You got one who's still playing in Tampa, and you got the other guy. And in the interview before the game, they're kind of going through everyone, and they ask Tom Brady, or they ask Peyton Manning, who he would have brought as a caddy to get to Tom. And he said, well, I thought about bringing Eli. I thought about Nick Foles. And he settled on Belichick. But the fact is, he mentions Nick Foles, right? Why? Because he beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles, that's the first mention during that thing. Nick Foles gets mentioned again because when you got the comeback starting, when you have Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson on their way back, Nick Foles texts in. He says, Peyton, two words, if Tom and Phil start coming back, Philly special, go win it, the match too. So how about that? He is twice mentioned. He's now a pop culture phenom.
Yeah, well, you know, you know what kind of quarterback you're bringing in here when his reference point in his career is the Super Bowl and the guy he's competing with is the Sun Bowl. You kind of get a sense of where these guys have been, maybe where they're capable of taking the Bears. Maybe that's not fair, but I did get a kick out of that. I got a kick out of also Nick Foles, you know, participating in that and hearing him kind of have a sense of humor. Because the other part of the Kyle Long conversation that was really a good interview was Kyle Long quoting his brother Chris and talking about how Nick Foles was a one-of-a-kind type of a leader and a guy who you look at and can lead a team and some of those attributes that I think sometimes – you know, you don't take for granted, but that is the other reason he's here, is because he can handle the uncertainty of a compressed offseason. He can handle not having to be told from day one he is the starter. Nick Foles is a guy who's, you know, when you hear him talk, you understand how many years he's been in the National Football League.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, again, I think that the fact that you win a Super Bowl takes you to a completely different level. And when you're talking about unique leadership and you're talking about a guy's ability to play, that's what's going to come back. I mean, he got red hot and had an unbelievable playoff and won a Super Bowl and won it against a team that's won a lot of Super Bowls. So I think that, Chris Long, that was the other element of that interview. Kyle Long talking about Chris Long and how I don't think I knew that his brother had never made a Pro Bowl, because he kind of bounced around a little bit. He was a very high draft pick, bounced around a little bit, had a hell of a career, and won a lot. Is he still playing? I mean, he's a hell of a defensive end.
He's not, but I think that his him not making a Pro Bowl, kind of the point was how big of a popularity contest it had become. And Kyle Long talking about how he had made Pro Bowls and his brother had not, and his brother he felt like was a better football player. Yeah, Chris Long could be one. He was a beast. I couldn't believe that either when you look at his career and everything he accomplished. And he was a bigger champion. He had been on some really good championship teams at the end of his career, but not to have made a Pro Bowl was very surprising to me. Molly, the other part of the Kyle Long conversation, what did you make of his desire to play baseball at this stage of his life at 31 years old, and how
Jordan did it.
I know.
At the same age, yeah.
265-pound left-hander. Do you think he was serious? Where is that headed? Because he sounded like a guy who was sincere in saying that he was going to play baseball somewhere, somehow.
I don't know. I just, you know, I think when you can afford the bus, it's hard to ride it for that many hours, right? I mean, I you look around and, I mean, you have to go down to the minor leagues. Can I ride in my own bus? I got a tour bus behind us here. I just gave, you know, I just spent a few hundred thousand or half a mil to get a tour bus. And let's be honest, it's probably, who's the great country singer, Brad Paisley? His tour bus, I saw a thing on it one time, $1.7 million. Now, that's a tour bus.
Yeah,
that's a tour bus.
Truck. I mean, these guys go in style. He can afford it. Brad Paisley can afford it. And I'm sure Kyle Long can, too. I just found it interesting how he talked about not having any regrets. And I think he was speaking, you know, about football.
Right.
But the baseball bug doesn't seem like it has left him, and he always will wonder about where that might have led him had he stayed with that sport. But look, it's not like a guy who didn't succeed in football. This is a guy who, you know, in 7 years with the Chicago Bears accomplished and played at a very high level and leaves as somebody that they will miss in the locker room and on the field. So I don't think it will go anywhere. Maybe he's talking about independent league baseball. He was looking at buying a farm. Maybe he'll buy a farm and play on weekends.
Never give up on a left-hander, right? Isn't that the –
right.
Even if he's 31 and he's been playing football. I mean, the guy had a lot of leg problems. I don't know what his base is like. I mean, I don't know – David, I don't know how sincere a wish that is. I don't know how realistic a wish that is. I'm sure it's a fun thing to contemplate, but – I would imagine that a career in the NFL, a career as an offensive lineman, doesn't leave you in a great position to be a pitcher. I mean, he'd have to drop like 80 more pounds, right? And he'd have to change his body. And I
could never imagine calling Kyle Long a crafty lefty. You know?
Oh yeah, he cleverly ran down and just threw guys. I don't know. I think it's, listen, you know, apparently he was a pretty good pitcher, and that's why he was drafted by the White Sox. He didn't play for them, and you move on. But Don Cooper didn't recall having him, but said, "Hey, bring him
Coop
in."
Coop didn't remember.
Know?
No.
Yeah, Coop didn't remember.
Coop, come on, Google that thing. You guys drafted him in the 23rd round of the 2008 draft.
Yeah, I think that it's just kind of a, I don't think there's anything remotely possible about him coming back and playing baseball.
What did you make then overall of his, you know, assessment of the Bears offensive line in the way that they will respond to the new coach, Juan Castillo, loyalty to Harry Hiestand?
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. I thought that was all very interesting. Because he does feel loyalty to Harry, but the fact is he thinks Juan Castillo is going to do a really good job. You know, I got to be honest with you. I think what he said about Mitch is really the takeaway, that the cut that we played is what people will remember about it. Number one, it's like a great – it's a very funny and clever comment. But really more than that, I don't know that he's all that wrong. I don't know that Mitch – you know, so many times when we talk about quarterbacks, you talk about where they wind up, who's the play caller, what is the offensive scheme, how are they gonna make this work? And I think that if Mitch was just a flat out bust, that's on Ryan Pace. If Mitch is a guy that didn't fit what you're doing, and then you went out and hired Matt Nagy, and now Mitch doesn't fit his scheme, that's also on Ryan Pace. So either way, he doesn't come out very good from this. Either he drafted the wrong quarterback, which I think a lot of people believe, or he hired the wrong coach to try to work with the quarterback, which clearly is you know, well, it's easier to blame the quarterback. But either way, neither move kind of screams understanding what you had with the guy in the first place.
Molly, whether Kyle Long intended or not, when he talked about the quote about fish climbing a tree and these things, that he implied that Mitch Trubisky was being asked to do things he wasn't good at. And when he talks about Harry Hiestand being set in his ways and not having, you know, he suggests that that's a communication problem with the head coach. And whether he intends it or not, these are things that put even more scrutiny and pressure, I think, on Matt Nagy. And not that he's pointing a finger at Matt Nagy, but Matt Nagy's the one who designs the offense, and Matt Nagy's the one who hires and gets along with the position coaches. So when you talk about where Kyle Long's not, I don't want to say criticism, but it might be veiled criticism is directed, it's hard not to connect those dots. And it's hard not to see how much of, again, this offseason, this next season, is how big it is for Matt Nagy to answer some of these questions that are lingering now after the 8-8 disappointment.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. And David, you said something there that I think is really important. You talked about the communication between the play caller and the quarterback, and the understanding between the two of them. You know, part of the problem is that there's a really good communication, there's a really good understanding between the new quarterback and the play caller that doesn't exist between the returning quarterback and the play caller. For whatever reason, they've yet to figure out what Mitch can do, or what you shouldn't ask Mitch to do, might be a better way of putting it, in this scheme. And he already knows what the other guy can do in it. And he already has a feel for what plays the other guy can run. And I think that is ultimately what the problem for Mitch is going to be.
And ultimately why Nick Foles is here and Andy Dalton isn't, or the other quarterbacks who were on the market and available for the Bears to pursue. There's a reason why Nick Foles was at the top of the list, and I think that you're exactly right. It is because of he speaks Nagy. He speaks the language, he understands the offense, and he understands how to process information quickly. And that's why it's hard to envision the guy that was referenced yesterday during that golf tournament for winning a Super Bowl, the guy who has that kind of respect around the league and notoriety, it's hard to imagine him losing a job in a so-called open quarterback competition.
He was mentioned not once, but twice. All right. Maybe that's pushing it a little bit. But he did get two mentions. It's pretty cool. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, The Score.
You did ask me what went wrong last year. And as a man, I will tell you that I didn't do my part. I wasn't healthy enough to. Now, I tried to, but I couldn't make it happen. And at that point, that's when you know you got to take a walk, and I did. And I think that with the right guys, healthy guys, hardworking guys, which I know they all are. I know that locker room, and it's a good one. But you got to figure out what works, and that's running the dang ball, man, and stopping the run. And we're pretty good at stopping the run.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Very interesting element of Kyle Long's interview here on The Score. He's talking about pointing the thumb, right? He's talking, hey, it's on me. Look at, I did this. I wasn't good enough. But you know what? You know what the undercurrent of the thumb is? He can't stand the play calling.
Okay.
Well, Matt Nagy, it's all on me, but he's to blame. I'm just saying. You know, run the damn ball is a very easy thing to say. It's just apparently impossible to do.
The perfect clip to play after what we talked about the last segment, Mully, because when we talk about not having confidence in Nagy's ability to tailor things around Mitch Trubisky's skill set, when you talk about Matt Nagy's inability to communicate with an offensive line coach that Kyle Long clearly respected, if not revered, in Harry Hiestand, now you're hearing the veiled references to the inability to run the football, which requires a commitment that nobody has seen here in Chicago under Matt Nagy. And I think that probably rankles nobody more than an offensive lineman, especially a former offensive lineman now in the position of having opinions to express that are strong ones. And I think the more Kyle Long talks, the more you understand that he's got a future in our business, but also you realize and recognize what wasn't happening in his mind with the Chicago Bears last year, and maybe to some degree the year before, but everybody was winning, so nobody cared. But yeah, that's exactly what I heard too. Yeah, he's taking responsibility for what he didn't do, but he's also giving you just enough to understand what else didn't happen and where that all started.
It's fascinating because I don't know that there's any football offensive lineman in history that didn't want you to run the damn ball, and it does take a lot of pressure off of an offensive line when you can do that, because it then allows you to pass block with greater leniency. You don't, you know, when you can dictate how a team attacks you, that is a wondrous and glorious thing for an offensive line. When you're in a scheme where you're just throwing the ball and trying to throw it, and then we're going to throw it like this, I don't know how that aids you in your efforts. And I think that there's no way around the idea that Matt Nagy sees the run as not setting up the pass, but giving you a break from the pass. It doesn't. It's just there's no way around it. The guy would pass the ball every time if he had his druthers.
Right, and you wonder how that changes. And I am curious because there's a lot of I don't say pressure, but there's a lot of attention focused on a position group change or the coach of a position group in Juan Castillo. And I don't know if that's fair to him. And I don't know if that's fair way to look at it, because it is kind of assigning so much responsibility to the previous coach and a guy that was respected. And it feels like we've heard a lot of this before. It feels like when Harry came back to the Bears after his first successful go around on Lovie Smith's staff, that there was a sense of, okay, that's the offensive line. He's going to coach him up and everything is going to be just fine. When in fact we find out later now that there were some issues there that were, you know, getting in the way. But I don't know that the one position coach can do a ton of things. I think it all starts with the head coach. It all starts with the execution at the quarterback position, because let's face it, when it comes down to it, even everything that we've said is as valid as it is, there were times where you can make you can compensate for bad play calling. You can make, you know, correct and erase mistakes by just executing and making plays where none exist. And I think that's where the Bears have fallen short the last couple of years. And that's why we're, you know, heading into this season with the questions at the quarterback position, thinking that Nick Foles represents an upgrade.
Yeah, and I think, why do we believe Nick Foles represents an upgrade? It certainly isn't because Nick Foles covered himself in glory down in Jacksonville. It's because he's been with Nagy before. It's because he's operated successfully within a scheme that is based on the one that Nagy runs, right? So you look at what happened in Philadelphia, and it's basically you've got – now they had a little more balance to what they were doing, but you've got to be able to understand the language of the scheme, and you got to be able to understand what the coach is looking for out of that scheme, and you got to be able to perform it. And he's proven to be able to do so. Now, I don't know if Matt Nagy – will run a different type. You know, I found it fascinating in that little Zoom call that he had with the media, where he talked about, we're at the stage now where, you know, we're going over one play for half an hour and talking about all the intricacies within it. And then we get to the point where the guys decide what plays they can run, what plays they like. And, you know, so obviously that's going to be different for every quarterback, right? So how different does the offense look with Mitch under center versus Nick Foles? Are they both supposed to run the exact same things, or can he switch and change and adjust to help the quarterback he has? I'm going to say the answer to the last question is no, based on the fact that he never seemed to adjust to what Mitch wanted to do.
I just think it comes down to confidence. I mean, so much of playing that position is we talk about and overanalyze the scheme and how much they have at their disposal. And I think that's fair to look at, you know, the play caller as the culprit on most Sundays. But it's about confidence. It's about execution. And the thing about Nick Foles that appeals to the Bears is that they've seen him confidently execute that offense in a way that Mitch has done at times, but not consistently enough to have any sort of belief that it's going to get better in a season that is, you know, kind of a must-win type of scenario for the Bears. Yeah, I just think that, you know, it comes down to not trusting, you know, Mitch and putting him in a situation where, you know, he will be an NFL quarterback for many years. I just don't know that he'll be an NFL starting quarterback for many years. We look around the league and there are examples of guys who have, you know, benefited from changes of scenery, and he may fit in that category. He'll be given a chance to win this job, and maybe he stays in Chicago one more season, but it's just hard for me to envision him being the long-term answer there, given all the evidence we're kind of compiling here. And whether it's in a Zoom meeting or on the field, I think that Nick Foles is going to be the guy that emerges as the person most worthy of the Bears' trust.
Who's it a winner else year four, David?
Well, I think obviously it's, you know, you start with the general manager. I don't think that he's operating like a guy. He's putting a lot of urgency on this season, even though it's hard to envision him losing his job after this season, given the way the Bears do believe in Ryan Pace. But it's the NFL, and, you know, the wheels can come off quickly. And so, win or else in terms of, you know, job jeopardy, everybody on a one-year contract, and they have a lot of guys who fit that category. That's the way they've structured this offseason and free agency. But I think big picture-wise, you could make a scenario that if the Bears have, you know, enough struggles to where they end up third in the NFC North again and they miss the playoffs again with the kind of window that they had with this defense, then you start to ask some tough questions about the future of Ryan Pace and it depends on how they fall short. But I think you could make an easy to make an argument that this is a win or else scenario for the general manager.
I think the general manager is the guy. I mean, Mitch, I suppose, but that's, as you say, that's kind of irrelevant to his career. He'll still have a career. He'll never be in a position maybe where everybody believes in him fully and gives him every opportunity. He could be in a position where he's got to battle and prove something, which is probably the way most people go through life anyway. But I think the general manager could be in trouble. And frankly, if I'm the head coach and you lose the general manager, that makes you in trouble. Because, you know, I got to tell you, when you stop and look at the Bears and you talk about who is in charge and who's the GM and who's the coach, whatever way you want to put it, it seems like for a lot of time, and I'm talking about 20, 30 years, they're never perfectly in sync. It's, you never get the feeling that everything, their timing has been off as an organization. If we think about the timing of a team marching down the field, think about it at the timing of their organization. They've just, they've really not connected the pieces in the same way you have to in order to kind of stay in time on time.
That's why when a season like 2018 comes around, you savor it, you relish it, and you get carried away because it was such a surprise. The problem with 2018 was that they didn't capitalize last year, so it feels more like an aberration than it does the beginning of something special. You want it to be the beginning of something special, but the way that things happened last year, because of the history, felt very familiar. It was they were out of time again, and they missed this and they missed that, and you do, and that's where the, you know, you remember how much fun it was in 2018 when you talked about the Bears and there wasn't this cynicism, there wasn't this skepticism, that for one in last off season there was optimism even, and maybe a little bit too much, but that then everything kind of reverted to form and they went back to feeling the way that you just described, that something is going to go wrong because historically something always does.
Yeah. Yeah, it was almost as if, you know, we've seen the Bears have success. We haven't seen them live with success, right? We haven't seen them really, for whatever reason, they just, it's very difficult to repeat it. And I don't know why. It doesn't make a lot of sense why. I mean, I know kind of what happened last year, but, it did make it seem more like a fluke than like something to expect. And yet, you look at them on paper and you think this defense should be real good this year. But I don't think people have a good sense of what to do with the Bears or how to pick them or what to expect from them. It's really kind of funny to see the people that are saying they're going to be god-awful and the people who are saying they're definitely a playoff team, maybe a Super Bowl dark horse.
Mully, you know, we're here talking about the Bears. It's Memorial Day. We're thinking Super Bowl. And you know what is on tonight at 7 o'clock on The Score? Super Bowl I. Packers, Chiefs, Super Bowl I tonight at 7 o'clock. What? How much fun would that be to listen to?
A lot more than watch.
I mean, that would be, I can't even know. Who's doing the broadcast of Super Bowl I?
It's a good question. I wasn't around for it, I don't think. I did not cover it.
Green Bay and Kansas City tonight, 7 o'clock, right here, 670 The
Who
Score.
Who is doing the broadcast? I thought you were taking us somewhere. We'll have to
I'm looking at the programming note, and then we are carrying Super Bowl I tonight. I do not know who the broadcasters will be, but we will try to find out.
All right.
Maybe less.
We're going to bring our buddy Joe Ostrowski in. We're going to talk a little sports gambling. It's there are constantly different things happening, and we have new information that we got to go over with Joe O, and we'll do that next. It's Mully, maybe less. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is the most embarrassing phone call.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're delighted to welcome in our colleague, Joe Ostrowski. He joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Morning, Joe. Hey, guys. Just hoping on this Memorial Day I'll be able to relax a little bit. Lugged 55-pound bags of mulch yesterday. And again, wondering, why don't we have rocks? This has to happen next year.
That's a lot of mulch, man.
Brutal.
Well, Joe, which is heavier, a 55-pound bag of mulch or 55-pound of rocks?
The rocks feels worse, doesn't it?
Okay.
So listen, so we had a midnight session of the legislature here in Illinois, and they approved the long-awaited casino. But they did it like, I don't know, was it after midnight? It was crazy. They had a move from where they're voting down to the convention center because they needed more space, and everybody's got masks on, and you're going through this ridiculous, you know, COVID-19 pandemic, and boom, we got a casino in Chicago. And boom, we're not going to kill everyone with taxes, so maybe someone wants to actually do it. Expected, unexpected, what was your reaction?
Yeah, this was expected. A tax break in Illinois, guys. Wait, what? What? When did this start? As you recall, last year at the end of the spring session, I was down in Springfield covering it. And that's when we really found out about the Chicago mega casino, when we got legalized sports betting. And part of that expansive gaming bill was six new Illinois casinos. Now, the problem the state realized last year when Mayor Lightfoot came up with her six proposed sites in Chicago on the south side and over on the west side is these tax rates are not too enticing to a whole lot of people, so we've got to get this done. It was fully expected, passed with flying colors. So over the weekend, a big victory for Mayor Lightfoot. The tax rates are now lower, and they're hoping to make a whole lot of money as part of this $45 billion infrastructure program for the state, which was passed last year. Now, some of the lawmakers, you talk to them, and they believe that they'll be able to get $45 million in licensing fees before the Chicago casino even goes up.
Wow. And I think that's a big number, Joe. You know, you talk about it being expected, and I don't disagree with that. I think it was almost not forgotten, but overlooked in the midst of everything else going on. And, you know, the pandemic, the special session, all these things. Kind of, oh yeah, by the way, there's this casino issue that is likely to be passed. And when you look at that in the context of everything else going on, number one, how big of a priority do you think it remains? And then in terms of a timetable, what happens next?
Yeah, I keep getting the question, when are they going to announce mobile betting in Illinois? When are you going to get more sports books? The optics wouldn't be great for that to be on the forefront right now. So I think it'll happen once we get sports. But the Illinois Gaming Board, kind of under the radar, they're conducting business as usual, doing all of their work remotely. And applications from casinos and race courses are still coming in, and they're handing out some temporary licenses. So the entire landscape as far as the sports betting is going to change once we get sports back, hopefully in early July. Like, we had sports betting for 1 week here in Illinois, then it all got shut down due to the pandemic, and we could have 5, 6, 7 whenever sports does return. Now the real battle is going to be the location, and I think we'll all be reminded about Illinois politics we know and love, because that's going to be the big fight. Okay, you got it. Okay, it will be more appealing to some operators with the lower tax rate. Okay, fine. Now, where's the space? Where do you have the parking? There were five proposed sites that I mentioned from Mayor Lightfoot last year, and consultants came in last summer, and they said, yeah, this is not going to work. You don't have enough foot traffic, and part of the problem was the tax rate. So I can't wait to see what sort of locations will be discussed. They were the old Michael Reese Hospital, State and Pershing, Roosevelt and Costner, near the Harborside Golf Center at 111th and Bishop Ford Freeway, and the old U.S. Steel parcel at 80th and Lakeshore Drive. So it sounds like it won't be any of those locations.
What I mean, it's so frustrating because there are really good locations. Why can't you just build it where it would bring in the most revenue? Why is there so much politics around it?
Well, that was what the consultants were saying. They're like, okay, you can put it here, but you're not going to get enough revenue. You're not going to get the revenue that you're looking for. So maybe that came into focus as this passed with flying colors, and Lightfoot understands, okay, the locations we came up with, it's just not going to work. I mean, I don't know about you guys, if you have any ideas, but when I first heard this getting passed, you think about foot traffic and the tourist dollars.
Yes.
I mean, that's going to be a big part of it. And then also you want to stop people from going to Indiana and bringing all of their money over to our neighboring state. Sorry, David, no offense. but that's a big thing. If there's a casino on the way over to Indiana, that would stop people. But, you know, my first thought was obviously you think Navy Pier, maybe McCormick Place, something close to downtown, not so far south.
That, that makes too much sense. I mean, that's the thing. When people hear Chicago Casino and they think about all the opportunities it potentially affords them and all the fun that they potentially could have in Chicago, you don't think about driving 20 minutes outside the city and you know, finding a place to park and then where you're going to walk. And no, if you're going to do that, you're more likely to be open to the idea of going to Indiana. You're right, Joe. That's why, of all the sites downtown, you wonder how much politics will get involved. You wonder how many reasons they'll come up with without getting what it seems to be an obvious choice. But, you know, the ideal spot when you hear this news is your head goes like, okay, downtown Chicago, here we come, because that is, to me, makes the most sense, even though politically it may not make any sense at all.
And what people also need to keep in mind when they talk about some of these locations, first off, space. So most people are familiar with Rivers Casino. And part of this bill was casinos going from 1,200 gaming positions, the existing casinos, all the way up to 2,000. Okay, a slot machine is a gaming position. Every spot at a poker or blackjack table is a gaming position. So now all the casinos are going to have 2,000 gaming positions. The reason they're calling it the Mega Casino is because it's going to be allowed to have 4,000 gaming positions, more than three times the size of all the existing casinos.
So let me ask you, Joe, when we talk about the mobile betting and the remote stuff, what's the new date on that? Because isn't there some happening here in the next few days? I mean, Rivers needs to get going with that mobile gaming thing. That's been approved. It just was approved for 2 years from now. And guess what? We're in a pandemic.
My belief is once the four major sports or any of the four major sports return, we'll have some sort of announcement. Everything I've heard is that mobile betting will start with Rivers Casino. Here's the problem. We go back to the bill, and the lawmakers don't want to talk about it because they think everything they passed was great because it's new here in Illinois. Well, other states aren't dealing with what Illinois passed, in-person registration. So they could make an announcement tomorrow, Molly, and say, all right, we got mobile betting. Okay, fine. I can't go register to have mobile betting.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter. If I want to stay up at past midnight and bet on the KBO, I can't do that. If I want to bet on NASCAR, it's impossible because the casinos aren't open anyways. And even once they do open, guys, anybody signing up to walk into those Petri dishes?
Well, I mean, I was thinking about it, Joe. Couldn't you do something remote? Couldn't you do something where, you know, if you have to go pick up one of these devices or whatever way they want to do it, couldn't you know, they got a beautiful parking lot in front of Rivers. Couldn't you drive up, you know, give your information, get one of these things and bring the next car in? I mean, there's got to be a way of distributing that stuff.
Exactly. There have been other states, a couple examples that were brought up to me of states already doing that, that did pass the in-person registration and they do have some sort of a drive up. Haven't heard anything about that, but as we cross over phase three, hopefully, and then phase four, I'm hoping to hear some sort of announcement with that.
Joe, how popular have some of these sports that have, as we resume, you know, live sports action, whether it's NASCAR or golf's coming up, and some of these, maybe even, you know, other sports, other options, have they been to bettors?
It really varies from sportsbook to sportsbook. There are some bookmakers in Vegas that I spoke with. They're the first to have the lines in the market for the KBO, and they said they do very well there. The most popular sport that we have right now as far as sports betting, and it isn't close, is the UFC, a very popular sports betting sport. And, you know, people are looking for anything. But I'll be quite honest, doesn't get me going. When we first had everything shut down, there were people betting on marble racing, stuff like just looking for anything. And I got excited over the weekend taking a look at this proposed playoff format for the NHL. If they have this with the play-in round and the best of five, I was thinking, hey, why wouldn't you take a long shot in some of these teams? I don't know that the Hawks would win it at 100-1, but it would be exciting.
Is that what they are? Are they 100-1?
Yeah, I saw the Superbook put them at 100-1 over the weekend.
Oh,
what are the Bulls if they get that thing going?
It said, thank you for your donation.
No kidding. But the Hawks at 100-1, Joe, look, they could get hot. It's hockey, baby. You never know.
Been there, done that. Yeah, why wouldn't you take a shot? And you know about these short series.
Right.
They said the first round would be a best of five as well. Then all of a sudden you're down to 16. Hey, who knows?
Yeah, what were your thoughts? Did you see this story about the Greek freak? They're trying to trademark the term Greek freak just for betting purposes. They want him up at mobile betting sites as Greek freak, and they also have a trademark pending on Greek FR34K, so freak with a 34 in the middle.
What?
It's insane. It's a reference to his jersey.
See, now everybody's paying too much attention to The Last Dance. So many people were thinking, okay, it's all going to be about Jordan, and they're going to be mean, some of these leaders on the teams, kind of like Jordan was, and it's okay after watching The Last Dance. Giannis's crew was obviously watching the Jordan brand and how he grew the brand. People have too much time on their hands. No, I did not see that.
Oh, yeah, but it was in the Tribune.
Yeah, so if you have all the NBA props, it would be posted as Greek Freak instead of Giannis. Yeah, I get that.
Joe, you can't answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So when sports starts to come back, and slowly we hear about the NHL or the NBA and then Major League Baseball, and people can bet on these games again, and people can bet on, you know, MVP, anything that they want to again, and it looks like it's returned to semi-normalcy. Are you going to get a rush for people to just bet because to scratch that itch because it has been so long? Or are people going to be more cautious because, you know what, they have less disposable income than they did before this all started?
Yeah, I'd love to know the answer to that question, David. It's something I've contemplated myself because we saw Mike Florio's piece over the weekend. He was talking about all these states in a rush to pass legalized sports betting. We already have 23 states and D.C., 18 of those operational because obviously the economic impact here and the states need money so bad. But I hesitate on a couple of fronts on that. First, the economy. People are hurting. Are you going to have that extra income lying around to actually bet on sports? Some will, but I would think there's going to be a lot of people that are hesitant, or if they did, they won't bet as much money as they did in the past. But I don't know. And then there's also sports have gone away for 2-3 months. So there will be that rush in the beginning, but maybe people are just going to kind of realize, you know what, sports isn't that important. It's very important to us and a lot of our listeners, but there are some people that aren't as interested. It will be very popular very early, but I do wonder, as far as actual dollars wagered, if it'll be like it was before.
Joe, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, guys. Happy Memorial Day.
You too, pal. That is Joe Ostrowski. Fascinating stuff there, huh?
Yep.
Want to thank everyone for calling, texting, emailing.
Also, thank you for listening on this Memorial Day.
Yeah, that means a lot to us. And David, we love our crew of Dustin and Kevin and Ray, but they were all off today, so we're not going to thank them. But we do love
thank you for sleeping in.
Yeah, Adam Studzinski did everything. Studs, God bless you. We appreciate it.
Way to go, Adam.
All right. Who's next? I think Bruce with Mark Grody, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Bruce and Grody working overtime.
Yeah,
boy, that's
pretty good stuff.
He is a workaholic. That's great to hear. And Molly, have a great Memorial Day, as well as everybody out there.
Yeah, everybody enjoy yourselves and be safe. And God bless you, Molly and Haw on the Score.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
If it is to be said, so it be. So it is.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.